This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today to wrap up the week. So much to get to. We're recapping last night's round one of the NFL draft. We'll talk about some of my favorite picks and start kind of forecasting how I think some of those rookies could fit in to their new teams. Obviously, we'll talk plenty of NBA basketball on the show today, playoff hockey. We got Casey Hudson standing by joining us here in a few minutes. Also, we're going to talk with Jake Kassan joining us later on in the show, and Shane Jackson will be stopping by as well. Ton to get to over the next 30 minutes. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us in the NFL, in the NHL, in the NBA, in the MLB, send them in to us at the BetMGM Network on YouTube, on Twitch, on X as well. We'll get to them over the next 30 minutes. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling, though. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Casey Hudson, who joins us. Make sure you guys are following Casey on X at the Sports Case. Nesson, host of the Hockey Hub, joining us here to talk some playoff hockey. Casey, great having you back on the show. Let's start with your favorite team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are not off to an ideal start in their series, dropping the first two at home to Florida. What have been your thoughts so far in the series, and do you think the Bolts can turn it around? Do you think they can come back and win game three out in Sunrise?
Yeah, thoughts so far have definitely been quite tough. I mean, I had Tampa Bay going quite far, and I had that unbiasedly. They've been the team that kind of had, you know, two, three lines that rolled really well. Vasilevskiy was looking back in playoff form, and then, of course, their defense came in very stout this season with the return of Ryan McDonagh and the pairing of him and Chernak. But what I have to say that was concerning is leading up to this series, you started to see this roster get a little banged up. Game one, you see Cirelli go down and out, and you just see a lot of mix-up going on in their fourth line. And knowing Coach Cooper as closely as I have over the years, like having his third and fourth line being consistent and steady has always been kind of a dominant and extra attribute for this team to compete. Having that inconsistency is going to hurt this team, and then you're not going to have your top lines rolling. Last year, we saw the Panthers just find a way to isolate and contain Nikita Kucherov, which is a tall and hard task to do, but you're just seeing key players not get an opportunity to possess the puck and maneuver the puck the way that they need to, and the Panthers came back doing what they did best, having one of the top four checks in the league and just overwhelming their opponents. So I think Tampa can pull off a win or two here. We've seen them bounce back from being 0-2 in a series beforehand, but depending on health being on their side and them just not getting out of character and getting away from their game so consistently, they can make it interesting. But for right now, unfortunately, taking emotions out of it, I think the Panthers are probably going to end up owning this series.
Yeah, been a great start for Florida so far. We will see if the Lightning can bounce back in Game 3. Casey, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of Western Conference series that so far have been a little bit of a surprise. Minnesota Wild are up 2-1 in their series on Vegas. And then the Stars right now, who are banged up, they got a couple of key pieces missing in their series against the Avs. They are up 2-1 in that series. Which one's more a surprise to you at this point, the Wild being up or the Dallas Stars being up?
I'm going to go with the Wild because, PJ, you and I have talked about this a number of times, actually. I've always had the Dallas Stars as a dark horse or underrated or never talked about enough. And then this year, I finally go with Colorado and look what's happening. But to stick with Minnesota being the ultimate surprise for me at the moment, we saw them do amazing things throughout the regular season. We also saw a very fractured roster. They were dealing with so many injuries, Kaprizov being one of their key pillars, you know, just rejoined the lineup a few weeks ago heading into playoffs. So I didn't anticipate their top line to come in and just be this absolute force. So that's on me for underestimating where Minnesota would go with this. Gustafson's been pretty tight between the pipes in a number of situations and games, but this is surprising me because Vegas is just so deep on all four lines. That was my pitch in terms of how far they would run in the West, particularly. You got one of the top defenses out there. You've got Adin Hill, who has this playoff experience, championship experience, more importantly, and they have the ability to blend up the lines so much with the talent that they have in their scoring forwards as well as their offensive defensemen, and you're just kind of seeing them get stagnated by this Minnesota team. Now, Minnesota's controlling the pace, even though that they're not out shooting them per se, but Vegas is still getting scoring chances. It's just the execution, and kind of the theme around playoffs right now is like, if your top guys aren't going, you're not getting much done, and that's kind of what we're seeing on the side of Vegas here and where Minnesota's having the upper hand. Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, and Matt Boldy, they are freaking rolling, and Matt Boldy's been fantastic since Four Nations.
Yeah, certainly has. We're talking with Casey Hudson. Give her a follow on X at the Sports Case, Nesson, host of the Hockey Hub as well. Casey, let's get into some of the games that we have going on tonight. We'll start with the Caps and the Canadiens. Washington's up 2-0 in that series. Montreal, though, they've had a chance to kind of maybe win both of those games. First game went to overtime. Game two was a low-scoring game. Washington scored an empty netter to win by two in the final seconds. What do you make of game three tonight as the series shifts back to Montreal?
Yeah, with it being in Montreal, you really kind of want to root for them, right? They're keeping a game close to a very dominant team. And the first thing I saw when these two teams got head up to be in the playoffs versus one another is that the Caps got seven players with 20-plus goals. So you have so much scoring depth over there, and I was wondering how Montreal was going to be able to contain or minimize that. So keeping it low scoring is really great for them. The hard part is their inability to get any scoring done on their end. You're kind of seeing some mistakes kind of in both zones for Montreal. You're seeing some disconnects, and then you're seeing attitude play into a huge role here. If players aren't getting the perfect pass on their stick, you're just seeing plays break down and deflate for Montreal, and they're losing those opportunities where they do start to put the Caps on their heels. So I think the Capitals just have this perfect blend of like experience and young guys contributing. Ryan Leonard's game is coming together. There were so many beautiful passes that he had consistently heading towards Montreal's net, and their ability to just stay in front of the net, their ability to consistently try to create rebound opportunities and polish them off. You just have this wave of offensive opportunities coming in from the Caps, and if they get Alexei Petros back, he traveled with the team to Montreal. They're saying there's a possibility he can hit the ice tonight. He's one of their big plus-minus guys, and he stepped up tremendously when Ovi went out earlier in the year. So I want to root for Montreal. I just think that the youth and inexperience might kind of play them out of this one, whereas like between Ovi and between all the guys and the buy-in over at the Capitals and the depth that they have scoring-wise, they can match any game. They can hit if you want to hit. They can score if you want to go toe-to-toe in scoring. And if Thompson's back between the pipes, I mean, he just was incredible. Not to outweigh Montreal, but he's just very consistent with the big saves he came up with.
He was. He was unbelievable in game two. Been a low-scoring series so far between those two teams. Casey, the Devils have really had some problems scoring against the Carolina Hurricanes, which we figured would be an issue with them not having Jack Hughes for this series. Do you like the Devils tonight? You know, 0-2, backs are against the wall. They're at home. Do you think they can maybe pull off a win tonight?
Yeah, see, this is where I guess I feel silly because I'm thinking they can at least steal two wins, right? Even without Jack Hughes, who accounted for 6 points throughout the regular season when they split their wins and losses between Carolina, you have two former Carolina players on your roster who should know kind of how this roster is going to roll out. So I thought Nason was going to hit a different gear. Pesci was going to hit a different gear. And then Paul Cotter, I mean, he has been a postseason guy, and we saw tremendous stuff out of him in Vegas. They just haven't been able to piece anything together. They look like a team that's still very unsure of what their game plan is whenever they hit the ice. And Carolina's offense can exploit that and take advantage of it. So my biggest concern, and it was brought to my attention by Johnny Lazarus, is the goaltending for Carolina, but that's stepped up more than I anticipated it to. So heading into this, most people outside of myself, sorry y'all, had Carolina either sweeping or only giving up one win. I think that they just continue to stay dominant. They have the confidence and everything in their favor, and this is kind of matching what things looked like versus the Islanders last year.
Kings and Oilers, KC, LA is up 2-0 in that series. Been a high-scoring series so far. The Kings have pretty much dominated both the games. Edmonton had that crazy comeback in Game 1, but it's pretty much been all Kings so far. Oilers are staring 0-3 in the face. Do they finally get a win in this series tonight, you think?
I want to go with the Kings on this one. I know that's risky. You can't, and you can never fully count out Edmonton. My biggest reason for doing so is that the LA Kings have had a great defensive structure for the past 3 years. They were road warriors last year, and where their drop-off has typically come in is their inability to score. They're checking a lot of boxes to be a formidable team right now, and the fact that they're averaging more than their typical 2.24 goals per game right now is insane. You don't have much scoring depth when it comes to Edmonton, so if they continue to make it difficult for their top line, then you're looking at a team being LA that can continue to control the narrative, the pace, and which way this game is going to go, and it's leaning in favor of them. They're also going to have a different chip on their shoulder. You know, Edmonton has been in their way for 4 years now, so with them finally having everything that they need to be a formidable team and scoring, I mean, Kempe has just been so hot. It's hard to keep him off the board. Byfield's been a guy that everyone said to look out for over the past season. I think that they can continue to stack on that confidence, even without the harmonicas, unless they considered a way to get them to travel to Edmonton.
Casey, before we let you go, want a thought from you on the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference right now. What was your prediction going into the Stanley Cup playoffs? Who did you think would be the two teams that would meet in the final? And after, you know, the first two, three games of any of these series, has your prediction changed at all in the East or the Western Conference?
Yeah, my prediction's varying a little bit here. So originally I had Colorado versus Tampa Bay. Clearly we're seeing some different things going on here. Colorado, I just really liked their four centers, and especially their bottom centers in Charlie Coyle and Jack Drury. I just thought the experience there and their previous postseason numbers were going to pull through heavy for Colorado, and the jump of having their captain back. I'm not counting them out entirely, but I wouldn't be surprised if LA sneaks in the mix here. Like I said, they've got a really good structure going. They just were one of those teams that would end up over-defending, getting pinned in their zone, could never put up points, and they've flipped the script on that pretty much entirely, in my opinion. So I'm just throwing it out there that they can sneak through a little bit further. After what the Blues did to the Jets last night, I feel like a number of teams are going to be circling some big, notes to go against the Jets and try to eliminate them. And I believe in the President's Trophy curse. I'm just going to throw that out there. So LA can maybe sneak in the mix. I had Colorado originally. We'll see what happens if they get past the Stars and what's been going on there. As for the East, I had Tampa Bay, as I mentioned, but for the poetry of hockey, I wouldn't be surprised if the Capitals get a little further. The Leafs have actually cleaned up in a number of ways. Big collectors when it comes to special teams. Stolarz has been out of his mind, and defense is there and showed up in rare form for this team. But I think if the Caps continue to check all the boxes, they could probably pinch through. But you can never count out the Panthers. They look like the Panthers from last year. So if I had to take a quick swing at the fence, maybe LA versus Florida.
All right, there you go, LA versus Florida. It should be an awesome Stanley Cup playoffs, as it always is in playoff hockey. Casey Hudson, join us here on Send It In. Give Casey a follow on X at The Sports Case, and check out the Hockey Club. Great job hosting there on Nest. And Casey, always great having you on. Enjoy the rest of the postseason.
Thank you. See you, PJ. See you, Sean.
All right. Thanks, Casey. Let's keep it rolling, guys, on Send It In as we continue talking playoff hockey here on the BetMGM Network. Let's start with that Caps and Canadiens series. Washington's up 2-0. They want both games on at home ice. Now we go back to Montreal. Look, I can just tell you guys, as a Caps fan, they never, ever, ever make anything easy. And even though they pretty much did control both of the first two games, the third period in both games have been a little bit dicey. I do like Montreal tonight. The Canadiens did not do a good job of getting off to a fast start in either of the two games in Washington. They were up 1-0 in game two, and then the Caps quickly responded with two goals. But the way the first two games have kind of gone is Washington started first. They've kind of dictated the tempo. And then once Montreal has kind of settled into the game, they've kind of played even, if not look like the better team than the Caps. I think being at home now for game three, have the crowd behind you, you've gotten adjusted to the series, to the competition, to the intensity of the playoffs. I think that'll treat Montreal better. So I like the Canadiens here at +100. I think that's a good price. Would also look at the over 5.5 as well. Again, both games so far have gone under this, but I think with Montreal starting faster, being at home, this game could open up a little bit tonight. Give me over 5.5, and I'll take the Canadiens at +100 as well. Hurricanes and Devils, no play for me in this game. I think it would be a good game to bet live. Again, the Devils, they don't want to go down 0-3. They're playing desperate. They're playing for their season tonight against the Hurricanes. Right now, the Devils are +1.5. You got to lay -200 on the puck line. I certainly don't want to do that. So if Carolina scores first, we might get a good live number on the Devils on the puck line, +1.5, maybe even +2.5 if they go down 2-0, something like that. I think that is the way to go about betting that game tonight. But for me, nothing at the start, side, or total. And then finally, Kings and Oilers. I do like the Oilers tonight at -135. LA, I think they're going to the Stanley Cup final. I bet Hurricanes to defeat the Kings at the beginning of the playoffs at 80-1. So far, both of those teams are looking very good. I like the Kings to win this series, and I still think they're going to do it. But again, this is the fourth straight year that these teams are playing each other. Edmonton has beaten them three straight years. I am a firm believer that when a team has your number and you are trying to defeat that team, it's never easy, right? It's never easy to get over that hump. You go back and just look at the history of sports. If a team is trying to get over the hurdle, they're trying to get over the hump and go through another team or win a championship, whatever it may be, it's never easy. You're always going to face some adversity at some point. And obviously, the Kings have not been able to beat the Oilers the last 3 years. So I do not think they're going up 3-0 in this series. I think the Oilers are going to win tonight. I'd lay the -135 with Edmonton against the Kings. All right, let's look at a promo from our friends at BetMGM. You can join the rush this season with a Stanley Cup playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's talk some NBA playoffs here before we check in with our guy Shane Jackson here on Send It In. The Celtics and the Magic tonight. Boston, a 4.5-point favorite with a total of 197.5. Jason Tatum still questionable to play tonight. He did not play in game two. Questionable. Right now, there are no props up on BetMGM for Jason Tatum, so we wait and see. This total is pretty much the same as it was in game two, and I still think it's too low, especially going back to Orlando. You would expect the Magic offense to be better at home than it has been on the road. They scored 100 points in game two. And look, if Tatum can't play, everybody's going to talk about Boston missing Tatum scoring, but he's one of the best two-way players in the NBA. He's a great defender. He's another body that you can put on Franz Wagner or Paolo Banchero, who are the two best scorers for Orlando. So I think Tatum's absence, or even if he's not at 100%, helps our over. I like over 197.5 in this game. Some player props that I would look at. We took Banchero over 8.5 rebounds. That hit in game two. We're coming back with his over 9.5 rebounds at +110. I think Banchero gets double-digit rebounds tonight. And then give me KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, over 7.5 points. I think this is a really buy-low spot on KCP. I don't think it should be at 7.5. He only had 3 points in game one, 6 points in game two. So it makes sense why it would be 7.5. But KCP is going to play about 25 to 30 minutes tonight. He's going to shoot the ball about 8 to 10 times. And just like any role player playing at home in front of your fans, you're going to be more confident. You're going to shoot the ball a little bit better. I think 7.5 is too low, so we'll go over 7.5 points with KCP. Pacers on the road tonight. Milwaukee taking on the Bucks. The Bucks are down 0-2 in this series as it heads back to Milwaukee. The total in the game is 230.5. Nothing for me side or total in this game. I think the Bucks are a very good money line parlay piece. I do like Milwaukee to win the game tonight. A couple props that I like. Pascal Siakam, over 20.5 points. Siakam is just super consistent. The guy just about every night scores 24 to 25 points. He shoots 15 to 16 attempts. That's what he has done so far in this series, and I expect him to be like right in that neighborhood again. I like the Milwaukee Bucks to win the game. I think they're going to score a bunch of points, so the Pacers are going to be in chase mode. They're going to have to try and keep up with the Bucks. I think that bodes well for Siakam going over points. And then give me Brook Lopez under 3.5 rebounds at +105. I like the plus money on this. Lopez only grabbed one board in game two. He had 4 rebounds in game four. So he went under this and barely got over this in the 2 games so far in the series. And the matchup just isn't good, right? Him and Miles Turner, both stretch fives that can shoot the three. That's why Giannis has gobbled up so many rebounds in this series. Lopez has kind of been drawn away from the basket. So I think he's probably going to have like 2 or 3 rebounds tonight. I like the plus money that we're getting under 3.5 boards for Brook Lopez. And then Lakers and Timberwolves should be a great one tonight. Minnesota, 3.5 point favorite. The total is 206.5. I think this is a great game to bet live. I would not touch it at the start. Feel like we got some big runs coming in this game, but I want to see how Minnesota comes out, right? We've seen them the last couple years be so good on the road in the postseason, but we don't know necessarily what team we're going to get at home a lot of the times, so I'm staying away. A couple player props that I do like. Rudy Gobert under 19.5 points and rebounds. Rudy hasn't even come close to this so far in the first 2 games in the series. I think that is way too high. And then Luka Doncic over 3.5 three-pointers at +105. Luka on the road in a game that can give the Lakers the series lead and swing home court back into their favor. I think he shows up like he normally does in the postseason in a big way. So we'll go Luka over 3.5 three-pointers at -105. All right, a promo once again from our friends at BetMGM. It's an NBA playoffs odds boost token. This time, you can make a fast break for the action with an NBA playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's get to our guy now, Shane Jackson, web content writer for BetMGM. Make sure you guys are giving Shane a follow on X at by Shane Jackson. Shane, we got 3 NBA playoff games tonight, my friend. Let's jump right into it, starting with the Magic and the Celtics. How are you handicapping tonight's game with the uncertainty of what's going on with Jason Tatum?
Yeah, that certainly plays a part into it. I do like the Magic in the first half money line. I took +125, would play it down to +115. Look, the first half stat with the team down 0-2 at home in game 3, well documented by now, 66% ATS over the last 2 decades. Obviously, books have adjusted. You can see that in the lines right now, with the Magic being +1.5 in the first half and +4.5 in the full game. But the reason why I like Orlando in this spot is because Boston is susceptible to than most in this exact spot. They've won 2 playoff games in a series 5 times over the last 2 postseason runs. In the following game, they faced a first half deficit 4 times. So I think the Celtics, especially with Jason Tatum now upgraded to doubtful and a couple other injuries in their lineup as well, I think the Magic, this is a slam dunk spot for them to start out strong at home in game 3.
All right, what about the Pacers and the Bucks, Shane? As that series goes back to Milwaukee, we saw Indiana take care of business both games at home. Now we go back to Milwaukee, where the Bucks look to win both of their home games. How do you think tonight's matchup plays out?
Yeah, another 2-0 spot where you could go to take the first half. Again, books have adjusted. The Bucks are -4.5 in the first half and -5.5 and for the full game. I think you could take the double-double result, first half money line and full game money line for the Bucks. That gets out to slightly above even money. But I prefer going with just Giannis 30-plus points and Bucks money line. You referenced it earlier. I just think playing that in a parlay is the way to go. It may seem chalky, but, I mean, this is do-or-die time for the Bucks. Otherwise, the Giannis trade rumors get really loud this summer. So I think you're going to see their best effort tonight in Game 3, and Giannis has been unstoppable in this series. So I think that parlay, getting slightly plus money on that, is the way to go for this game.
All right, and then the nightcap tonight, Shane, should be a good one. Lakers and Timberwolves, we have a split. Both teams winning a game out in L.A., come back to Minneapolis for Game 3. How do you see this one playing out tonight? Anything that you like?
Yeah, I actually agree with a lot of your logic, so I don't even know why you asked me to come on today. But the Lakers-Wolves, I think it's a prime live bet spot. I think the Lakers, with the short turnaround into Game 4, I think they could pull their guys earlier than expected in the second half. So maybe a Wolves alt line in the second half, especially if they get off to a strong start, could be the way to go. But in terms of player prop, I like that look. Rudy Gobert under 19.5 points and rebounds. It's true that Gobert has held up in isolation against the Lakers stars, but what that has done is brought Gobert away from the rim, and therefore his rebounding impact hasn't been the same. He's got 6 rebounds in each of the first 2 games, and on the offensive end, the Lakers have largely ignored him in that dunker spot. That's why he has 8 points, I think, on 7 shots through 2 games. He's averaging 26.5 minutes through 2 games. It's clear that he is not being as impactful in the series through 2 games, even though he is holding up in some of those isolation spots. I think the Timberwolves clearly prefer Naz Reid in the situation. So I think 2 things can be true. I think Gobert is an elite defender, but I also think his impact has been minimized in this series. So I think fading him is the way to go. And then also, yeah, like you said, the live angle is probably a smart move, especially given the quick turnaround. I think 39 hours turnaround for Sunday's game 4.
Absolutely love it. Shane, before we let you go, in about 30 to 45 seconds, give us a thought on one of the other series, right? Whether it's Pistons-Knicks, Nuggets-Clippers, anything else in the other series going on maybe you think has some value?
Yeah, I see no reason to double down because I'm on it before the series, but Rockets series money line is the clear, obvious answer at +140. Jimmy Butler's health status very much in jeopardy for Game 3, and I think this could tilt the series in favor of the Rockets. A very physical battle, so even if Jimmy Butler is healthy and good to go, like, how efficient will he be? How effective will he be? Especially for a guy who's played, you know, over 40 minutes per game over the last week or so when it's been do or die time for the Warriors. So I think the Rockets series money line is where I would go for value.
All right, love it. There you go. Shane Jackson, give him a follow on X at by Shane Jackson, web content writer for BetMGM, joins us each and every Friday right here on Send It In. Shane, always appreciate the insight, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You too.
Absolutely. All right, guys, real quick, before we get to our guy Jake Hassan for some crosstalk, let's recap the NFL draft from last night. Little PJ pick 5. I'll tell you the 5 picks that I loved the most last night from round 1. We'll start Indianapolis Colts. That was my favorite pick, number 14. Getting Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State. I think he's the best tight end in the class. Indianapolis wanted a tight end. They were minus like 220 to get a tight end with their first pick. You know they ran that card in to announce that they were getting Tyler Warren. That's exactly who they wanted to fall to them at 14, and they didn't have to do a thing. They stayed pat. They got their guy. Security blanket for Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, whoever it ends up being, and a great run blocker for Jonathan Taylor. So really good job. Love that pick by the Colts. Number 2, Matthew Golden going to the Green Bay Packers at number 23. I thought it was a slam dunk pick for the Packers. First time since 2002 Green Bay has gotten a receiver in the first round. We had Ryan Horvath on a couple days ago, and he talked about it, right? Christian Watson's not going to be healthy for the start of the season. Then it's Romeo Doubs. It's Dontavian Wicks. Like, they needed a number 1 guy with some upside. They have that now in Matthew Golden. Great pick for the Packers at 23. Jaylen Walker going 15 to the Atlanta Falcons. I absolutely loved as well. Didn't really love the James Pierce pick, especially trading a future first rounder to get back in at 26. But the Walker pick, I thought, was excellent. This was a guy who was mocked to go like top 10 by a whole bunch of people. Instead, he falls to the Falcons, who desperately needed a linebacker at number 15. Really thought that was a great pick for the Falcons. Omarion Hampton going number 22 to the Chargers. I can already tell you guys right now, I am betting this guy to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. A running back like Hampton in a Jim Harbaugh and a Greg Roman offense, when they still don't have any receivers, sign me up. No more Dobbins, no more Gus Edwards. It's Najee Harris, it's Omarion Hampton. They did not get this guy to not use him. Genty's going to open up as the favorite. Cam Ward's going to be up there too. I think Hampton's the play, though, for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then finally, not being a homer, I love the Ravens pick, Malachi Starks at number 27. It fits a positional need. He was the best guy available. Him and Kyle Hamilton are like chess pieces that you can use on defense. You can put one guy in the box while the other guy drops deep. Both are extremely talented. And think about this. This guy started as a true freshman at Georgia. He called all the plays on defense for Kirby Smart as well. For you to do that for a Kirby Smart defense, you got to be pretty damn good. The Ravens got him at 27, so I like that pick as well. All right, let's go to our guy, Jake Hassan. Talk some bet slips and bat flips, which is coming up here in about 3 minutes on the BetMGM Network. And, oh, Jake, we got a lot of good games today, my friend, but I got to tell you, the one that immediately jumped out, Paul Skeens against Yamamoto today out in L.A., that's got to be the game of the day, right?
It's not often you get the top two favorites for NL Cy Young going head-to-head, PJ. So this is definitely going to be a game that I'm going to be interested in. And listen, I'm going to be honest with everyone right now. Not sure I'm going to have bets in that game because everything's juiced to hell, obviously. But I can't wait to watch it and see the fallout of the implications in the Cy Young market.
Love it. Jake, real quick, our guy Sean in about 20 seconds has a question for you that he wants you to answer.
Great.
Yeah, Jake. Are you happy that we didn't get Genty? You've ruined my happiness. How do you sleep with yourself at night?
Not well, but that's unrelated.
Yeah, true. Jake, what do you have coming up on the show for us?
Full slate of games, like you mentioned, PJ. We'll look ahead to the weekend. A full college slate as well. The Texas A&M Aggies tried to take their revenge on Jim Schlossnagel and the Texas Longhorns after he left the Aggies after that College World Series loss last year. So we'll break that down as well.
Oh, can't wait. Guys, going to be a great episode of Bet Slips and Bat Flips. Make sure you check that out coming up 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the BetMGM Network. Jake, have a great show.
Thanks, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, wrap the show. PJ's plays. We got to go rapid fire here. We only got about 35 seconds left in the show. We'll start going streaking. James Wood let us down yesterday. Aaron Judge is not because he's 13 for 34 in his career against Jose Berrios, including five homers. He's going to get us a base hit today, so give me Aaron Judge in going streaking. Pascal Siakam over 20.5 points is going to be my prop lock today against the Bucks. He's had 24 points and 25 points in each of the first two games of the series. I think this is too low. Give me the Canadians on the money line plus 100 against the Caps because Washington never makes anything easy. And then give me the over in Celtics Magic over 197.5. Jason Tatum questionable to play. I think Orlando being at home, the offense gets a lift. They go over the total. Thanks again to Casey Hudson, Shane Jackson, Jake Hassan for joining us on the show. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.